Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. This morning when I was talking to the Lord or asking the Lord what he would have me share, I felt like he wanted me to share on love. And the title to my sermon today is Be a Lover. I mean that in a good sense, too. But, you know, I think people out there are searching for a lot of things in life. They're trying to find love in other people where they don't need to be looking for it. They're trying to find it in things which will never meet the need. They're trying to find it in a lot of different areas. But I'm going to tell you, there's only one place where you can really find true love, and that's in Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm going to come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible because I think it's just very, very plain the way it says it here. And I just think that it will minister to your hearts. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 13. If I can speak with the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, which is inspired by God's love for us and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love, in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Oh, God, help us. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete and imperfect. And our prophecy and our teachings is fragmentary incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and the perfect total comes, the incomplete and the imperfect will vanish away and become antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I am become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or an enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality, face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even as in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Wow. Woo. And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, the conviction, and the belief respecting man's relationship to God and the divine things. Hope, the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, the true affection for God and man growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Wow. If you heard nothing else today, that's a tremendous sermon right in itself. And I tell you what, you can look for love in a lot of places. You know, I'm thinking about some of these songs you hear, looking for love in all the wrong places and all that. And you know what? Those songs ring so true. And people don't realize that the poetic spirit that are in a lot of these songwriters comes from God. And if you listen to those songs a lot of times, they're telling you a story. You know, I used to listen to Lionel Richie years ago, and I still like to hear Lionel Richie sing. And I used to listen to him, and I'm going to tell you what, sometimes I could feel anointing when I'd listen to him and some of his songs. But I'm going to tell you what, at one time he was going to be a minister. And then he backed away from that. But I'm going to tell you what, that same spirit that's in you and it's in me is in him also. And I will tell you this. We can look for love in all these different places and we can do a lot of different things, but we're never going to find it until we find it in Jesus Christ. Because the greatest scripture, I think one of the greatest scriptures that was ever written was in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but they might have it life and have it more abundant." I'm paraphrasing there. But you know what? That's God's whole purpose, is to express his love to mankind. You know, I know that a lot of times things happen in our lives, and I was touching my heart with Charlene, and sometimes we don't understand even the losses that we experience and the people that we love seeing something happen or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows exactly what's going on. And I'm going to tell you what, even though that seemed to be a tragic thing, that person stepped right over into the glory of the presence of the Lord. Because, you know, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, so many times when we look at these things with the natural eyes, we know that we're going to miss somebody or that, or whatever, but God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's a sovereign God, like Goldie was saying. I love that you said that, Goldie. You know, there's a lot of different things in life. And, you know, a lot of times there can be selfish love. And with selfish love, a lot of times it brings suspicion, you know, because you're suspicious that someone is maybe cheating on you or that they're not doing the right thing or whatever. And suspicion brings subtraction. Faith brings addition, but love multiplies. It blesses twice him who gives it and him who gets it. And you know, we all have a need for love, and we're all looking for someone to love us and to care about us. And, you know, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how far you look or where you look at, you'll never find it until you look in the right place, and that's Jesus Christ. The height of our love for God will never exceed the depth of our love for one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And I'm going to tell you what, he loved us enough to give himself completely for us. And, you know, so many times, it's not always easy to love the person that's standing in front of you. It's not always easy to love someone who's treating you badly. But I'm going to tell you what, if you ask God to let that love of God be expressed through you to that person, a lot of times it will break down whatever's in their life too. It will work on you first, but then it will work on them eventually. And, you know, I think I've told you a little bit about this before, but I heard a Christian comedian one time, and this guy had been like a high priest of Satan at one time. And he said he was in the Air Force, and when he was in the Air Force, they have him in, not in great big barracks a lot of times. They have, I guess, smaller rooms. And he said this one Christian boy kept trying to witness to him all the time. And he said, I told him, don't witness to me any more about Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear any more about him. And he said, and if you do, he said, I'm going to kill you. I mean, he basically got that violent with him. And he said, so he was in the barracks, and the Christian guy was sitting on the end of the bed talking to another guy real loud about Jesus Christ. That's just like a Christian name. Talking real loud about Jesus Christ. And he said, I got so mad, I ran across the barrack and I dove on him and knocked him down in the floor and started beating on him, you know. And he said, if you ever say that Jesus Christ to me again, I'll kill you. And he said, the guy looked up at me with tears in his eye and blood all over his face. Said, I have to tell you, Jesus loves you. And he said, that was the beginning of the end of me. And he said, it wasn't long after that I gave my life to the Lord. And now he's a Christian comedian, and he goes around and makes fun of Christians. Because he is one. And you know, you can't make fun of anything unless you are that, usually. Because people get mad at you if you make fun of it and you aren't what you're making fun of. But he's actually pretty funny. I've heard him before, and he's actually pretty funny because he kind of tells jokes about Christians. But I'll tell you what, the love of God will break down any wall. There's no barriers that can keep it out. There's no political systems that can stop it. There's no hateful things out there that can stop it, because I tell you what, the love of God will break down any wall, any barrier, any situation. You know, I'm going to read you a couple things here, and this little thing, I was looking at this, and I felt like this is really good here, and I want to read it to you. And it's called Lovers. And I got part of my message, the title for my sermon, to be a lover. It says, some people in a family are gifted lovers. They somehow know how to make all folks around them feel the love they share, especially the love of Jesus Christ. The principles are the same in families as well as in churches or any place people meet. You know, I can tell you this. You couldn't go in my mother's house without feeling the love that she had for people. And when she used to have those Thanksgiving things, she always wanted everybody to come at Thanksgiving. She wanted everybody to come at Christmas and all that stuff. And we had a pretty decent-sized family. But she would cook something that everybody liked. Not one thing. She might have five or six or seven things. It just depended. She'd make sure there was something there that everybody liked. you know. I mean, and no matter how much she had to work to do it, she would do that. And you know, that was her way of showing love to people when they came. And, you know, so many times we think that we have to talk to people about love or something like that. But I'm telling you what, you can show them love in so many small ways. Just by being there for them or just by encouraging them or whatever God would have you do. But I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this. It says, lovers smile a lot. Something caring and contagious flows through them. It's inviting, warm, gentle, and kind. Lovers treat you as somebody really special. And you know, that's the way she was. She always treated you special when you came. Warmth and welcome quickly turn to genuine friendship. They, like you, are wonderful persons and do not hesitate to say that you are. You know, and Mother would always be an encourager. She'd always tell you that, you know, she saw a lot of good in you. I don't know if you was meaner than a snake, she'd tell you you was, and she'd always tell you she saw the good in you and different things. And I mean, she would. And you know what? I think that God allowed her to look down inside of you and see the good in you. Lovers' faces light up every time they see you. Their hugs and their handshakes and their personal words make you feel totally accepted. Quickly, they invite you into their conversations or their groups or homes. Instinctively, you know that you have a place in their hearts. Lovers make knowing Jesus and living in Him so attractive, it comes close to Him, and something like coming close to them has been to be so wonderful. Lovers know God. You sense that they tap into the true source of love often and regularly. The overflow of their lives show that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Lovers are generous with compliments from the heart, quick to see your strengths, and tender with your weaknesses. Lovers have flaws. Sometimes their weaknesses hurt us more than those of others from whom we expect so little. Lovers sometimes become victims of our raising expectations. They and so many others want to treat them like close friends. No one can keep up with their demands of true friendship. For so many people, we can easily expect lovers to do more for us than is reasonable. Lovers need to be loved too. Weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, even funerals say something significant. Lovers have many who will rise up and call them blessed, and rightly so. They have blessed so many for so long, and it only seems right to give them a little gratitude and appreciation in return. Lovers do incredible good to all within their sphere of influence. It's little wonder that most often repeated commandment in the New Testament is love one another. Lovers are made and not born. They become a lover, and to become a lover is a matter of decision and attitude and commitment to become and be a lover for the rest of your life. You know, my question to you is, do you want to be a lover? Do you want people to look at you as one who loves and loves unconditionally? I'm going to tell you what, God loved this world unconditionally. He died for all mankind. He forgave all mankind. And He released all mankind into the ability to become the sons of God. And, you know, Christianity out there, to a certain extent, would paint a picture of a God who's wanting to throw them all in hell and burn them up. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that isn't the God that I know. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of unconditional love. Now, when you come to God, you'll find that He will accept you just the way you are, but he won't let you stay like that. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, thank God. You know, that song we used to sing, little by little, he's changing me. Line upon line, he's changing me. You know, precept by precept, until I am free, Jesus, my Lord, is changing me. That is so true. Little by little, he changes you. Because I tell you what, if he tried to change you all at once, he'd probably kill you. You'd probably die, because we don't like change. We're a people that we don't want change. We want everything to stay with status quo. You know, I got another quote here I'm going to read you, and this is from a tremendous lady. And it says, I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then there is no more hurt, but only more love. And that was written by Mother Teresa. And she loved until it hurt. She loved people enough to go down amongst the people who had leprosy and had all kind of diseases. And God blessed that woman tremendously. And gave her a long, healthy life for a long time because she loved so completely. And you know, I'm going to tell you a little story here, and I'm not going to talk to you a long time this morning, but I'm going to tell you a little story here. And this is something that any of us could do. And this man named Carl was driving to work one morning when he was bumped with a fender bender by another motorist. Both cars stopped, and the woman driving the other car got out to survey the damage. She was really distraught. It was her fault, and she admitted that it was her fault, but she also said that it was a new car, and she'd only had it for 2 days. And she said she dreaded having to face her husband. We could all identify with that, probably. But you know, Carl was sympathetic, but he had to pursue the exchange of license and registrations and the data. And she reached into her glove compartment to retrieve the documents in an envelope. And on the first paper that tumbled out was written in her husband's distinctive hand were these words: in case of an accident, remember, honey, I love you and not the car. What a tremendous thing. Guys, put that in your wife's car. Wives, put it in your husband's car, because he might bang him up worse than you do. But I tell you what, that's what love's all about, the important things in life. And God wants us to be lovers. And he wants us to be lovers of whoever we come in contact with each day. And sometimes that means loving someone that's not very lovable at the time. And sometimes that means forgiving someone who has done you tremendously wrong at times. And I'm going to tell you what, when you do that, God will turn around and he'll do a miraculous, mighty thing. And you might get to see it and you might not get to see it. But I'm going to tell you what, the effect will be there. And like I say, so many times you never really know what God's doing. I mean, I've told you guys before, Clyde and me, and I think it was Gary, we went to a funeral, and Clyde did the funeral for one of the sisters who used to come to church. That sister sat in the back of the church, and she never, I don't think she ever hardly said anything, did she, Clyde? I can't remember her actually saying hardly anything at all in church. And when we went to her funeral, the place was absolutely packed out, wasn't it, Clyde? I mean, it was just, and it was a pretty good-sized church, too. And it was packed out. And, you know, people started giving testimonies. They said that woman could not get on the bus without sitting down next to somebody and start telling them about the love of Jesus and how much God loved them. Never heard her testify at church. Never, not one time out of all the years I went to church with her. Never once even knew that she was doing anything. But she was a lover. She was a lover. And I'm going to tell you what. We all need to aspire to be lovers out there. And that's all people are looking for. A lot of times they're trying to find it in a lot of things. Like I said, they're looking for it in alcohol. They're looking for it in drugs. They're looking for it in sex. They're looking for it in things. They're not going to find it there, folks. But you can point them in the right direction. Be prayerful when you're out there. Ask God, how can I show your love to someone today? How can I be a lover when I come involved with somebody else? The right kind of lover. Because I tell you what, creation is crying, wanting somebody to love them and to show them the love of God. If you all stand, we'll close. That's all I had to share with you today. It's not a very long sermon, but that's all right. You know, if you got an Amplified Bible, read that over sometime in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's beautiful because it explains it so well. And you know, I've done weddings before, and they quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the explanation of love, and the Living Bible is really good in the explanation of love there too. But I just want you to know that you can be a lover. It's a determination that you have to make. You know, let's face it, when you met that cute little honey that you lined up with, or that cute little guy or whatever it was years ago, and then you kind of look at them now and you look at a picture of them then and you say, they're not exactly what I signed up for. And they might look at you and say, you know, you're not exactly what I signed up for either. But let me tell you what, because you love them and you've determined to love them, you still see beauty in them and they still see beauty in you. And I tell you what, that's the way we need to look at mankind out there. We need to start seeing the beauty of the Lord in them and realizing that that's what Jesus died on Calvary for. And that's our calling, is to begin to express to them the love of God, and to be an expression of that unconditional love and that unconditional forgiveness. You know, I told you all when me and Jim went down south and to that gospel seminar a while back, there was some tremendous word down there, you know, different things said. I took away one thing, and that one thing was, I heard it repeated a few different times, God's not mad at you. Creation needs to know that. God's not mad at them. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care what they did. He's not mad at them. He loved them so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary as a propitiation for their sins. He has forgiven them. You know, when Jesus, before they crucified him, and he prayed, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you think God forgave them? Absolutely. And when Jesus, he has forgiven mankind out there, folks. They just need to know it. They don't know it. And religion is sort of not telling them that. They're telling them if they go through certain things and do certain things, then they'll be forgiven. Well, they're already forgiven. He already did it. He can't do it no more. He did it one time. That's all he has to do, it one time. They're forgiven. They need to be told they're forgiven. They need to be told that God loves them so much and they're special in his eyes. There's none other like them in God's eyes than each individual out there. Last time I talked to you, I talked to you about being God's favorite. And I'm going to tell you what. When he looks at you, you're his favorite. There's no other like you. There's no other like you. in His eyes. You're His favorite. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we come into Your presence. I thank You for Your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank You that You are the divine love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and that You poured out Your Spirit into each one of our hearts, that we can be an expression of Your love out there. Father, we're not perfect. We do wrong things and we say wrong things at times. But I want You to realize, Father, that we know that the only place we can find true perfection is abiding in Your love and being an expression of Your love. I ask You to bless Your people, and I ask You to just pour Yourself through them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.